Welcome to Music and the Message from St. Peter Lutheran Church in Gilberts, Illinois. We pray this blend of musical praise and the spoken word will enlighten your day and bring you closer to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
The following readings and sermon are from the church service on Sunday, June 14th, 2020.
Is from Exodus 19, verses 2 through 8. They set out from Rephidim and came into the wilderness of Sinai, and they encamped in the wilderness. There Israel encamped before the mountain while Moses went up to God. The Lord called to him out of the mountain, saying, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the people of Israel, you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples. For all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the people of Israel." So Moses came and called the elders of the people and set before them all these words that the Lord had commanded him. All the people answered together and said, "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do." And Moses reported the words of the people to the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 15. "For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we have been now justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 9th and 10th chapters. Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." And he called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. The names of the 12 apostles are these: first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother; James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother; Philip and Bartholomew; Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector; James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus; Simon the Cananean; and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them, "Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and proclaim as you go, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.' Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You received without paying, give without pay." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and our Comforter, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Some years ago, during the time of my vicarage, I recall my supervisor, the Reverend Dr. James Keek, telling me on more than one occasion, when you are assigned to serve that first congregation, you're going to take a seat in your office on that first day after your installation service, and you're going to ask yourself, now what do I do? And as I had come to learn throughout my time under his tutelage, Pastor Keek was right on the mark. I can still recall that very hot morning in July of 2009, sitting there alone in my office and wondering to myself, where do I begin? While I had been taught much about pastoral ministry during my years at the seminary and during my time of apprenticeship, nothing can fully prepare you for when that time comes to get up and actually go. So I took a deep breath. I reclined in my chair. I opened up my Bible and turned to the Gospels. And then I thought to myself, hey, what would Jesus do? While I didn't have the privilege to personally walk with Jesus, as did the 12 disciples, I knew exactly where to go for guidance. I remember St. Paul writing to the Corinthians, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. So I looked to the life of my Lord and Master who commanded me to follow him. And what did I find? Well, we need look no further than to today's gospel text, where we are told Jesus went throughout all the towns and villages, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. There you have it, the role of pastor in relationship to the flock he is called to serve, to teach and preach and minister. Now, during his earthly ministry, Jesus was not content to hang around the synagogue office and take appointments. Our Lord lived life on the road, moving from one town to the next. Jesus didn't look for all those lost souls to come and seek him out. No, Jesus came to them. And when Jesus came, what did they hear and see? God's kingdom had come. God's kingdom had come to them. Now, I want you to imagine that, if you will, walking here into St. Peter Lutheran Church. And there's a man here telling you everything you wanted to know about God. But he not only tells you about God, he tells you he is God. You find yourself staring into the eyes of God Almighty made flesh. And what he tells you is unlike anything you have ever heard before in your life. He speaks with authority, unquestionable authority. But Jesus didn't only come to talk the talk. Jesus healed people of their diseases. He opened the eyes of the blind. Jesus made the lame whole. Jesus proved himself by everything he did as well as what he said. He proved that everything he said about himself was true. Jesus was God incarnate in the flesh. And when Jesus came to town, people welcomed him into their homes, while others left their homes to follow him. Now think back. Do you remember how Jesus invited a small man by the name of Zacchaeus to come down from a tree and then invited himself to Zacchaeus' house for dinner? What does that tell you? Jesus wanted to be with his people. Jesus wants to be with his people. Christ is here today. We come to be where Jesus is present among us. And we know he's here. He told us that where two or more gather in his name, that he would be there with them. He told his disciples that when they baptized and taught his word, he would be with them always and to the end of the age. He told them, whoever hears you is hearing me. Jesus Christ is with us here and now. And you know, Jesus looked with compassion on those people who gathered around him. Jesus knew why the people came to him. They were feeling helpless. They were being harassed by enemies they couldn't even see. The enemy was doing everything he could to discourage them. He wanted to drive those people to despair. The enemy brought illness and sorrow and grief and all sorts of loss to oppress them. The devil was at work in all those towns where Jesus went. And the devil is hard at work among us today. And yet, too many people are convinced that Satan is not real. But I am here today to tell you that he is alive and well. From where do you think comes all the envy and hatred, the lust and adultery, the thievery and violence and murder and disorder we see all around us today? One place. It has but one source, and that source is Satan. He is the father of lies, and he is your sworn enemy. Well, let me rephrase that. He is one of your sworn enemies. There's also the world. Now, I'm not talking about the ground upon which you walk or the homes in which you may live. I'm talking about the spirit which now rules over this world, the spirit that drives all the madness we see around us today. Satan employs his agents right here on earth to spread poisonous lies, to discredit the word of God, and to stir up hatred against God's people. And for that reason, all the more reason to stay in God's word, to remain in this word, to keep us from falling into those traps that the world sets for us. And those traps, my friends, are many in number. And finally, lest we forget, there are those desires that ensnare us and drag us away from God. We must be continually on guard against ourselves, because the flesh is the most aggressive enemy, that part of ourselves that feels so good when you gratify it, but then is plagued with guilt when we depart from God to sin against him. The devil, the world, and our flesh, these are your sworn enemies. They've got your number, and they won't stop until they break down your will, destroy your conscience, and steal your very soul. They will throw at you every possible temptation until you just want to give up and give in. And what can you do? What can you possibly do when the forces of evil line up against you? Now, before you think to yourself, what would Jesus do? A word of caution, okay? You are not Jesus. So ask instead, what did Jesus do? What you cannot. Jesus has the power to resist all temptation. That's why he came. And that's what he did all the way to the cross. Jesus did no wrong. Everything Jesus did was good, to pay for all the bad that we have done. And when Jesus died, he covered us with his goodness, that we might be forgiven before God and shine forth with the goodness of our Savior. Jesus died to make things good between us and God, because that is how much Jesus loves us. And that is how much Jesus loves everyone. Even now, Jesus looks out on a world where people are harassed and helpless, and where they wander about like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus died for their sins as well as yours and mine. And Jesus wants to give them the same holiness he gave to us. And that is why Jesus said, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out more laborers into his harvest field." And then Jesus called upon his disciples and gave them the power to preach, to heal, and to defeat the enemy. And they went out, and they spent their entire lives preaching and teaching until the day they died. That was how Jesus loved his people. And this is still how Jesus loves his people today. He died to give this gift to all the world, and Jesus wants all the world to have it. That's what Jesus did. And now, this is what Jesus wants you to do. There remains a world out there who haven't heard the good news. And now that Jesus has done everything to make it possible for them to be saved, we need to do what he has commanded each and every one of us to do. Some are called to preach. So we can pray as Jesus did, that God would send pastors to every town and village, faithful men who will tell people what sin and death is and what Jesus did to defeat it. Some are called to preach. All are called to share. You can take this message into those places you daily go, into your homes and communities and workplaces, and you can share this healing message with those who suffer from illness and sorrow, from loss and grief. Like the disciples, you have been given the words that will open the eyes of the spiritually blind. You can share the word that gives direction to the lost and brings healing to the wounded soul. You have called your pastor to preach the good news to you. God calls upon you to take that good news to those people your pastor doesn't know, who need to hear what you have heard from me, because you, my friends, can reach them. Therefore, it is my prayer that God will give you the fullness of His Spirit to tell the good news of forgiveness and bring spiritual healing to someone in Jesus' name. And my dear friends, as you do, may the number of those being saved increase every day. God grant you His grace. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this edition of Music and the Message, brought to you from St. Peter Lutheran Church, located in Gilberts, Illinois. Worship services are held on Sundays at 8 a.m. and 10:30 a.m., and on Saturday evenings at 5 p.m. For more information, please visit our website at www.stpeterlutheran.org. Thanks for listening, and God's blessings on your week.